We Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah.
In Jesus'
we are
name,
thankful.
God, we thank you that even as we continue to go forward with this noonday prayer, we lift the children up to you all over this world,
yes,
God.
Lord.
Before
yes,
we even
Lord.
Get into the text and the information that you gave me to share with your people, God, we thank you that the enemy has to lose his hands off of our children, young and old. We bind every crippling spirit of fear that has paralyzed them, that has stolen their voice, God, that has prevented them from reaching out for help. And we thank you that they will find their voice, that they will speak up. And, Lord, you are going to provide somebody to hear and to help them get the help that they need. So we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
So
hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah,
now
hallelujah,
behold
hallelujah.
The Lamb.
Thank you, God.
The
hallelujah.
Precious Lamb of God, born into sin so I may live again. The precious Lamb of God. I pray that that song really, really ministered to you. And I just felt the need to just worship God and just set the atmosphere. And today is going to be different than any other prayer, noonday prayer. And I thank God for what he's doing. And if
Jesus.
You have your Bible, I want you to open up to 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. And
yes,
once you
Lord.
Get there, please say amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah.
And we thank you,
Hallelujah.
God. Hallelujah.
Glory
we glorify
to
your holy and your most righteous name.
Have and your way, Father.
1 Kings,
Hallelujah.
The first chapter, beginning at the first verse, it says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that he arose, he and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life. For I am not better than my fathers. I'm going to read all the way down to verse 18. And as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind in the earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after a fire a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle, glory to God, and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I, only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go, return unto thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shall thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Mahala, there's those words, shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room, and he shall come to, and it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. But I have left me 7,000 in Israel, and all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, every mouth which have not kissed him. So may God add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and application of his word. So we have gathered today. Our topic is breaking crippling fears and other mental problems. And today I'm going to be focusing on verses 1 and 3. And through those verses, the Holy Spirit is going to help me to expose the works of the enemy through the fear of man. And I'm going to say that again. We're going to expose the works of the enemy with this scripture, where God is going to clearly identify the results, the response, Elijah's response to the fear of man. And in this case, man can be either male or female. But in this scripture, it was a queen called Jezebel. So if you look at the first scripture, our opening scripture, God provides information about what was happening in this text. And God told on Elijah. You know, if you're a parent or, you know, growing up, your brother or sister was fighting or bothering you, and you go to your mom and dad and you tell on them. So Ahab went to Elijah and he told Jezebel how Elijah killed her prophets with the sword. And we find that in verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all of the prophets with the sword. So I'm taking my time to identify God was setting us up to understand what was happening in this text. So the second verse, God is exposing the works of the enemy through the artful skill of terroristic threats. You see, Jezebel threatened to kill Elijah. And if you read in verse 2, now we're going to see the instructions that the enemy gave, not God. It says, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. So right there in verse 3, Jezebel, used by the enemy, she sent a messenger unto Elijah and told him, she basically was going to kill him. I'm going to kill you. So, food for thought. How do you respond when the enemy attacks you through terroristic threats? Now, ever since September the 11th, you in the USA, you cannot go around threatening people. If you threaten somebody and they call the police are going to come and the evidence is there. They're going to lock you up, and you're going to go to jail. You're going to have to go to court. You're going to have to go before the judge. So you can't go around threatening people. As believers, we are being attacked every day by the enemy. Every day, he's sending terroristic threats. And the bottom line is the enemy hates us just like Jezebel hated Elijah. Now, Jezebel, she operated in the spirit of falsehood because she worshiped false gods. She worshiped Baal. She, you know, the idol worship, all of that stuff. So Elijah served God. God used Elijah to do this wonderful, wonderful miracle. And when he killed the 450 false prophets that was under Jezebel's leadership. And I mean, Can you imagine how bold he was to stand before them and to challenge God to cause his sacrifice to burn, to acknowledge that he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Well, God honored his request. And as a result, they killed all of Jezebel's false prophets. Jezebel is informed of this act by her husband Ahab, and she put a hit out on Elijah. So as we continue reading the word of God, we'll see how Elijah read when we'll see how Elijah responded to her terroristic threat. And we'll be able to identify the information in an instruction, and you will gain better understanding of how to apply this word to your life. Because a lot of times we get so caught up, fear is the culprit here, fear and the terroristic threat, the desire to kill, to steal, and to destroy, which John 10:10 tells us that's what the enemy comes to do. So in verse 3, it says, "And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there." So right here, Elijah's response to the terroristic threat from Jezebel. The threat was designed to instill fear. Once she threatened him, she provided the invitation for him to either accept it or to reject it. Now, another foundational scripture is 2 Timothy, the first verse in the 2 Timothy first chapter in the 7th verse. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind." So the moment she gave him the invitation, Elijah had an opportunity to reject her invitation. He had an opportunity to reject the threat against his life. And Elijah had an opportunity to stand on Luke 10:19 that says, "Behold, I have given unto you power and authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you." But he did not remember the word of God. At this point, he forgot about this big miracle that he just witnessed. He forgot that God gave him the victory, that he was walking in victory, and he cowered in fear. He came out of agreement with the word of God, and he came into agreement with Jezebel's threat. So what was the threat designed to do? The threat was designed to instill fear. The threat was designed to paralyze him. The threat was designed to cause him to back up and stop doing the work that God called him to do. The threat was designed to take him out, but God. You see, Jezebel threatened to kill Elijah. And in layman terms, Jezebel placed a hit on the man of God. Do you see how bold the enemy can be? Are you doing the work that God has called you to do? Has the spirit of Jezebel risen up against you? Has someone threatened your life? Remember, today we are exposing the works of the enemy, and right here I want to expose the fear of man. And let me make it perfectly clear. God did not give us a spirit of fear. Fear does not come from God. Fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous and is likely to cause pain or a threat. Causes you to be afraid of someone or something, and is likely to be dangerous, painful, or threatening. So if you are on this line and you are struggling with fear, today we're going to destroy the stronghold of fear. And it's not based on your emotions. It's not based on your feelings. And in this text, Elijah, although he knew the word, he heard from God, he knew God had his back, God showed up for him time after time after time. So one of the lessons we learn is that even though we are leaders, and it doesn't matter what your position is in the body of Christ, this is not about titles. We are all soldiers in the army of the Lord. And somewhere in this battle, we do face an enemy, a real enemy on a real battlefield. And if we don't stay focused on God, the enemy will present an invitation to us. And that's how you have to look at all of the thoughts of the enemy. The enemy will present. He will present evil influences through people. He will present evil influences through evil associations. So who are you hanging around? Who are you allowing to speak life to you? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the word of God says that God will raise up a standard. So through this word, God wants us to raise up a standard and stand on his word. And his word says that no weapons formed against us shall prosper. So let's go to the verbal curse that was spoken against his life because she threatened him. So standing on Matthew 18:18, you know, whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Elijah had power and authority to bind the spirit of fear and to break that curse and loose the spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. But he did not rely on the word of God. You see, wherever Elijah went in his mind at that moment, he connected with the spirit of fear, which paralyzed him, which caused him to run into the wilderness. And knowing that he needed food and water to sustain himself, he went into the most isolated place of the desert where there was no food. But God supernaturally fed the man of God, as we read in the text in 1 Kings 19. So if you will go with me right now to Proverbs, the 29th chapter, in the 25th verse, we're going to take a look at some scriptures that deals with being fearful of man. And while I'm turning there, how many times has God told you to do something and told you who you are in Christ, but somebody told you that you wasn't able to do those things? How many times did you set out to do what God called you to do, but people didn't believe in you? They said you wasn't worthy. They said you wasn't good enough. They said, ha, you really think God ain't going to use you? Look at your life. You've been on drugs for 20 years. You've been drinking. You know, you can't even read. God going to use you? So, and again, these are curses. When people speak negative against us, they speak in, life and death is in the power of the tongue. So we can either speak life or speak death. And when people speak life to us, we have a choice to accept it or to reject it. When people speak death to us, we have a choice to accept it and to reject it. So part of the battle of overcoming the spirit of fear and every other spirit that you're dealing with, you have to know you have the power and authority to speak to it, and it has to line up with the word of God. We have the same power and authority that God had when he spoke things into existence. He said, let there be light, and there was light. So it's not spooky, it's not mystical, and it's really not, we got to get out of our emotions. And we got to get out of our feelings, and we have to learn how to respond to the word of God. And whether or not our situation changed at that moment that we speak it, that doesn't matter. By faith, you have to believe in your heart that God is doing exactly what he wants to be done with his word in your situation. So the next time fear comes knocking at your door, don't open up that door and let that joker in. Rebuke the spirit of fear instantly. I bind you in the name of Jesus. That's right. Don't let that joker in. Don't let him crack the door. You know, Jesus, can you get that for me? Because the spirit of fear is trying to come back. And I know you delivered me from the spirit of fear. Sometimes you got to encourage yourself. Yes, sometimes Lord. You got to open up the word of God, and you got to say, God, I got to pray your word out loud. I don't know this word by heart, but I know where to find it.
Hallelujah.
And you start flipping through those pages, and then you find God has not given me a spirit of fear. But wait a minute, something happened today that caught me off guard. You know, And my first reaction was to back up in fear. But I thought about it, and then I remembered the word of God. The word of God in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. God said he has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. So right there you see that we have to activate the word of God. You have to use the word of God. If you know how to drive a car, when you get behind that seat, if you don't turn the ignition, if you don't put your foot on the gas, that car is not going to go nowhere. Yes, so Lord. Symbolically, if you're going to stand up against the devil, if you're going to stop him from driving your car, baby, you got to put the keys in the ignition, and you got to take authority. Mm. Don't let the devil drive your car, because you know what? He's going to go too far, and he's going to drive you straight into a ditch, because he desires to kill you. Do you have your seatbelt on today? Is your airbag working? Because let me tell you something. That joker desires to kill you, just like he desired to kill Elijah. So why are we talking about fear of man? Jezebel instilled fear in Elijah. So when we look at the spirit of fear, and we see in Proverbs 29:25, it says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. So when she sent the messengers to deliver the message to Elijah, come on. How many busybodies operating in your life today that's coming to deliver messages through somebody else? You can't listen to what the people are saying. And half the time, these people are just being used as a pawn. If you know how to play chess, my cousin Walter, he's a great chess player. But when you're playing the game, you know, you put the pieces where you want them to go. But when Satan is operating through another person, and remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against power and principalities. So it's not the person, but it's the spirit behind the scenes. So we have to be mindful that the enemy is sending an attack against us. Don't come into agreement. It clearly says the fear of man bringeth a snare. So the next time somebody comes to you with some nonsense, with somebody else said, rebuke them in the name of Jesus. Don't rebuke the person, but identify that lion spirit and say, you lion spirit, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And all of your cohorts, the spirit of fear, the spirit of gossip, the spirit of slander, everything that you bring into me, I will not accept it. I renounce you. I plead the blood of Jesus is against you, and you must go now in Jesus' name. It's just that simple. You either going to agree or you're not going to agree. Today is all about choices. After we finish this call, every choice you make is going to determine if you're going to stay in agreement with the spirit of fear or if you're going to walk in your healing and your deliverance. And somebody got to hear me today, because Hallelujah. The word of God says, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. And my God, I declare that we are safe today. And the reason we are safe, because the word of God says in Psalms 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Nothing else needs to be said. That means you are safe. Because God is hiding you under the shadow of his wings, where his truth and his shield is your buckler. God is your refuge. God is your strong tower. Do you trust him today? Will you, or will you lean to your own understanding? Again, is this really about speaking a whole bunch of words, or is it about staying in agreement with what God said? So Jeremiah 1:18, do not be afraid. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. So keep in mind, we're talking about the fear of man. Jezebel threatened Elijah. And Elijah cowered in fear. Instead of submitting to the word of God and standing on the biblical authority of God's word, I don't know if you understand what that means, because when you stand on the biblical authority of God's word, my God, all the heaven and earth got your back. God will shake the heaven and the earth on your behalf. God will cause an earthquake to take place. And if you open up your mouth and praise him, my God, he will send ambushments against the enemy. Today we are annihilating the spirit of fear. How many of you know that God has not given you a spirit of fear? God wants you to fear man. Man can say what they want to say. They don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. And truth be told, she may have threatened the man of God, but she did not have the power to kill him. You see, his assignment wasn't over. In the opening text in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, as I began to read later on in the text, God, you see, he was despondent. Elijah was depressed. He was like, oh, my gosh, just I want to die. Kill me. Don't be praying no foolish prayers like that. Don't be asking God to kill you. You know, but sometimes we get into situations and we tired, we drained, we're frustrated. And so God said, after he talked, you know, after he heard the still small voice, excuse me, God gave Elijah instruction. And he told him, go and return to thy way, to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And, you know, it was three things he had to do. It was three people he had to anoint. So in your own time, I want you to study the word and find out why he had to anoint these people. But for a moment, I want you to understand that it was the sword of Jehu that killed Jezebel. That Jehu was sent on assignment to take Jezebel out. So one of our key prayer points today is we're going to ask God to loose the spirit of Jehu, because we want to take out the spirit of Jezebel. You see, Jezebel is against ministry, and Jezebel is against those that do ministry. And we don't want Jezebel to continue to wreak havoc in our own life or in the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ. So we are taking part of this 21-day fast, and this week we're dealing with crippling fears and emotions. And so today God wanted me to expose the works of the enemy through Elijah submitting to the fear of man. Never fear man or what man say. Don't listen to man. When Moses, thank you, Holy Spirit, when Moses disobeyed God and he struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock like God instructed him to, you see, Moses was caught up in his emotions. Somebody better listen to me. It's a dangerous thing when we get caught up in our emotions, because we say the first thing that come out of our mouth, the first thing that we think, that's what we say. And after your word is released or your action, it's too late. You can't take it back. Moses was supposed to go to the promised land, but he disobeyed God. So the question is, why did he disobey God? Those people, those Israelites, stiff-necked, stubborn, hard-headed, they got on his last nerve. They irritated him. The spirit of exasperation rose up in him. And he said, you know what? Bam, he struck the rock. Out of reaction, he probably didn't even realize what he did. But as a result, he never got a chance to see the promised land. So don't let nobody get you off your square today. And I give a shout-out for Walt for that one. Don't let nobody get you off your square today. So going to Jeremiah, first chapter, 17 through 18 verses. Thou, therefore, gird up the loins, thy loins, and arise, and speak unto them all that I commanded thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. And I love verse 18. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, and against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. So in Ezekiel, the second chapter, the 6th and 7th verses, And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou doest dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. So there go that word scorpions. And when you read in the word, God, the Holy Spirit will bring back to your remembrance the power and the authority that you have. Because as I was reading that and I saw the scorpions, it's like, okay, God is giving us instruction through all of these verses. Excuse me. Through all of these verses that I'm sharing right now, and he's saying, do not be afraid. You know, don't need to be afraid of their words. And thou doest dwell among scorpions. So get it in your mind that you are amongst scorpions, but you got power and authority over the scorpions. So who or what is your scorpion today? I want you to look at that thing, get a clear picture of it in your mind, so the next time you see it, you don't step back in fear. Because how many movies have we watched and people lost in the desert or whatever, and here come this scorpion come creeping up. And before you know it, bam, they get stung by the scorpion. Today, your discernment, I decree in Jesus' name, that your discernment is going to be so strengthened that you're no longer going to be stung by the scorpion, because you have been empowered today by the word of God to speak forth his word in Luke 10:19 that says, behold, I give unto you power and authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. But let me tell you something. If you're not living the consecrated life, if you are not doing, can somebody please mute your phone? If you are not, thank you, if you are not doing what God called you to do, don't expect God to honor his word, because you can't blatantly disobey God and expect him to do what he said. So your heart has to be clean, your mind has to be right, your motives have to be right. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. If it's conditional. So we go back to the choices, and I'm wrapping up now. My last scripture is Ezekiel, the 3rd chapter and the 9th verse. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. So as I go back to Elijah's response to the threat against you, just like Elijah, it was designed to instill fear in you. It was designed to paralyze you. It was designed to cause you to back up and stop doing the work that God has called you to do. Even for those of us that have businesses and we haven't gotten this thing off the ground, no more backing up in fear. No more saying what you don't have. No more saying, I'm going to wait till God does. No. There's no more fear. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. It's time to come out of your comfort zone. It's time to walk on water. It's time to take God at his word. It's either you're going to believe him or you're not. You're either going to get in the water that is troubled right now. Hallelujah. Jesus asked the man at Bethesda Pool, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be whole? He sat there and made excuses why he could not get in the pool. We need to eliminate all excuses out of our lives today, because an excuse is nothing but a flesh response to demonic pressure for the release of obligation or obstacle. Aren't you tired of allowing the enemy to defeat you by the spirit of heaviness, which is the strong man for the spirit of depression and despondency, discouragement? God has not given us a spirit of fear. So we bind the spirit of heaviness, hallelujah, and we loose the garment of praise.
Hallelujah.
We thank God for this word. And the last thing I'm going to say is the threat was designed to take him out, and the threat was designed to take you out. But God, may the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and application of his holy and his most righteous word. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to open up the line for any comments, any questions, and then we're going to do prayer requests. And we are mindful that some people have to get back to work, But I pray that something said today has empowered you, and now you have taken control of your vehicle. You know, I'm an advocate for domestic violence, and a lot of times women and men, they are in abusive relationships where their voice is stolen from them. So part of our technique is to help them get their voice back. And in order to get their voice back, we teach them how to take authority, how to drive the bus. And you got to remove that person out of the seat, the driver's seat that's been driving your bus. You see, people love to take control. And the spirit of Jezebel, she was a very controlling woman. And she operated in a spirit of intimidation and manipulation. How many of you got some witches operating in your life? Witches and warlocks, they operate through the spirit of intimidation and manipulation, which is a part of the spirit of divination. So we have to really recognize. We're going to be doing, next month, we're going to be opening up a series on spiritual warfare, because we have to know God's word and learn how to effectively fight. But today, you have been empowered to take control of your bus and to drive your bus and to make your own decisions based on the word of God with the help of the Holy Spirit. So no more leaning to your own understanding. You are free. I don't even have to pray no more. You free from the spirit of fear. It's just that simple. I decree it to be so. If you choose to be bound by the spirit of fear, then you just got to take that up with God. And I understand there's some issues that we still have to walk through. So you thank God for the manifestation of your healing and deliverance from the spirit of fear. Do you hear me? Because we say we heal by the stripes of Jesus Christ. I say that all of the time, but half the time I'm talking and teaching and preaching, and my body is wrapped in pain. But I tell God, I thank you that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. So I rejoice knowing that the full manifestation of my healing could happen any day. With or without the pain, I am healed. In my mind, I am healed. So I don't cry like I used to cry. And I say that because the depth of my pain was that bad. I could be talking to you, and in the midst of talking to you, I would bust out in tears. So I thank God for even bringing me to this point. But I'm going to be quiet, and if we have any comments. Any words?
Yes, Walt.
Hi,
God bless Walt.
Hey. Hey, Walt.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing?
Fine, and you?
All right, and as always, that word was on point. The first thing you got to do when you got a problem like that is be able to face it and deal with it. It won't go away by itself. And I'm glad to be driving the bus today instead of up underneath it. But
amen.
As always, it's on point.
Amen. Amen. And you know, thank you for saying, that's why our comments are important, because everybody have a piece of the puzzle. And Walter, I forgot to mention healthy confrontation. See, because the threat came, and because Elijah responded immediately to his emotions, had he stopped for a moment, you know, the word of God says be slow to speak and quick to listen. Had he just took a few moments to do healthy confrontation, he would have been able to see what was really happening in that situation. So when we get upset, you know, don't be so quick to respond. Be still. Listen to God and let him lead you. So God bless you for that input. And when we get ready for prayer, I will be praying for you and the truck drivers, that God will keep you all safe. And the next caller.
Hi, Apostle Stacy. This is Keisha. I snuck out, but I just wanted to say thank you for the powerful word on today, and I am so empowered right now, and I just decree and declare that I'm healed and I'm set free and delivered from the spirit of fear, and I'm going to just walk in agreement with what God has spoken. And so I just praise God for this today. This is exactly what I needed. And so I'm just excited for freedom in Christ.
Hallelujah,
so thank you,
God. Hallelujah. And Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we bless this woman of God from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. I thank you for the blood covering. I thank you for hiding her behind the cross. I come into agreement with her that she is walking in the fullness of your perfect love, hallelujah, that casts out all fear. And I decree that Keisha Harris is leaking your love. Everywhere that she goes, she is dripping your love, so that those that are bound by fear, just by looking at her, just by seeing her smile, just by the kind words that she shares with them, I thank you, Father God, that they shall be set free. And I thank you that when she opens up her mouth to speak, that you will fill it with your words. I thank you, Father, for her promotion. I thank you that you are the one that will exalt her, not man. I thank you that you are the one that has called her, not man. And I thank you that she has been ordained by you, and she is your vessel of honor. So we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
God bless you. Walk in the victory. Yes.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Shandarabashata.
I see.
Glory, glory, glory.
Thank you,
yes.
Jesus.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah, God.
Glory
to
your name,
God. Thank you, Jesus.
My
God, you, Lord.
My God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes, God. Bless your Father. Hallelujah, God. So our next caller. Thank you, Lord. We know some of you are at work and you can't talk, and thank you for filling the way for that moment, teacher. And
hello?
The next caller. Yes.
Hello.
How are you? Yes.
Trudy.
How are you?
Doing great. Got on the lane late, but the little I did hear of it, I received it. In the name of Jesus, and I, you know, declare. Hold on for a minute. I'm trying to stick her.
Hallelujah, God. We thank you. We praise you, God. Hallelujah.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, okay. I got the final trying to act up. After I got on the hand late, but I. I'm in agreement with the word, what I did here, and I thank the Lord that I am free from fear, and fear will no longer hold me, because once the Son is set free, God says, He's free indeed. So I thank God, even with the word, I didn't even share before I got on, but I thank God, I'm a different out of my mouth. I am free, and I thank God for that. Intimidation and fear will not hold me no more. Because I shall do what God called me to do in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I give him praise. And I thank God for the connection with you, Apostle Stacy. I thank God. I thank God for you. Awesome woman, my God. I thank God. And I shall listen to the playback. Satan don't get no glory because Jesus is Lord. And I am free. I'm free.
Yes.
I thank God for the word.
Hallelujah.
Behind, you know, the little idea here of it and stuff, you are absolutely correct when it comes to dealing with that spirit of fear.
Hallelujah, God.
I got you correct and accurate and stuff for how, you know, the spirit of fear attacks us and stuff, but no more. I'm not going to walk that fear
no more.
Because God has set me free, and I don't have to do that. And I know God, you know, he chose me before the foundation. God chose me. He anointed me. God the one anointed me. And I have allowed people to stop me with intimidation and, you know, like you said, bullying you and all this kind of foolishness. But no more, no more, no more. I'm going to do what God called me to do in this end time season in the name of Jesus. Yes, yes. God has raised me up with boldness. Hallelujah. And I thank him. I thank him. I'm just letting the devil know no more fear in the name of Jesus. No more fear.
No more fear. No more fear. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We bless your name, God.
Yes,
hallelujah.
God. Yes,
I thank
God.
You for empowering my sister this afternoon.
Yes, God.
I thank you, God, that you heard her declarations from your holy hill, God.
Yes, God.
You have answered her. And I thank you, hallelujah, that you have gone before her. You have removed every obstacle. You have removed every hindrance, every distraction.
Yes.
And she decreed out of her mouth, oh God,
yes,
that she's not, I'm paraphrasing, but she's saying like Daniel, I'm not going to bow down to the king.
Yes, God.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
Father,
God,
we thank you that as she's placed in the fiery furnace that she may walk in by herself, but she's going to come out with Jesus, and she's going to come forth as gold. Hallelujah.
Yes, God.
So we thank you for the refiner's fire. We
thank
you for everything that she went through in her life to get to this point. We thank you,
God,
oh God, that the enemy thought he had her. And the truth is, he should have killed her when he had a chance. Jezebel should have killed him when she had a chance. But God, it wasn't meant to be that way. So we thank you for the life lessons, but we thank you, God, for application of your word and the ability to make a healthy choice that will allow us to stay into agreement with your word. So I speak to Trudy's mind right now in the name of Jesus, and I decree that she has the mind of Christ.
Yes,
and I
God.
Thank you for letting this mind be in her, which is also in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I decree Isaiah 26 and verse 3 over her life, and you will keep Trudy in perfect peace because Trudy has purpose in her heart, in her mind, to keep her mind stayed on you.
Yes,
and according to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, Trudy has purpose in her heart to trust you with her whole heart. Not the pieces of her heart, God, but she presented her whole heart back to you when we did the Samuel fast. So, Father, I see what you're doing in her life. I see how her setback was a setup for her comeback. So I rejoice in knowing that what you're doing through this Elijah fast and breaking every chain and breaking every fetter off of her so that she can be free to go forth and do the work that you called her to do.
Yes,
so
God.
For that, we thank you that she will no longer lean to her own understanding.
Yes,
in
God.
Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. To God be the glory.
Yes, God.
And I'm going to give you the playback, and I want you to listen to it, and I want you to meditate on all of those scriptures, everybody.
Okay.
And I didn't share Joshua the first chapter, but everybody read Joshua the first chapter when you get a chance. And we're going to take the next caller. Oh, my God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Do we have any more?
I don't know.
Any more comments?
Hallelujah. I'm sorry. I'm steady talking, and I was on mute. I apologize. This
That's
is Paulette.
Okay.
And I am rejoicing today because the God that we serve is truly an awesome God. I had to mute myself offline earlier because my daughter called me. She got a call. They found a 2-bedroom place for her.
Hallelujah.
I tell you, I can't even express to you. You know, my family, they're saved, they are, you know, baptized, but they're just not walking the walk that I would like for them to walk.
And I appreciate the fact that God uses me and my faith in order to show himself mighty to them. So they kept saying, you know, my daughter was really worried. She's 8 months pregnant, and she was just really worried. You know, right now she's living with my son in his little one-bedroom apartment, and she's had some days when she was weak. You know, the enemy was just, and I thank God that he gave me the words to say to her. So that now that this door has opened, she knows who did it. She knows who did it. So he gets the glory out of it. So I am just believing and trusting God that he is going to continue to show himself mighty in her life.
Amen.
She's coming into a new understanding of who he is and what he is able to do.
Amen.
I just give God glory. You know, the enemy fights us so hard. But if we just stand on the word of God, and even when we don't hear his voice, just trust his plan. Trust him. Know that he told us that he would never leave us nor forsake us. That when times get horribly bad, it's then that he carries us. Those are his footsteps, footprints in the sand, not ours. When things are bad and you're not in Christ in the way that you should be, you know, that can be a right mighty discouraging picture. You know, and the depression that comes from that. And, Lord, we had an excellent teaching last night on spiritual depression. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I thank God. I thank God.
Amen.
So I say, despise not small beginnings. If God touches your heart, puts it on your heart to speak a word to somebody, speak that word. Share what it is that God has done for you, because you never know who that is going to shine the light of Christ on, whose eyes it may open. I just give him glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm thankful.
Amen. Well, thank you for sharing that praise report. And I don't know which night it was, but I know we was on the prayer line, and I specifically said that this time is going to be different. That God was going to move on behalf of your daughter, and that she was going to be positioned to really see God's glory. And I'm not saying it word for word on that call, but we said we was all in agreement. So thank you for sharing your praise report, because all of us was in agreement with you.
Yes.
And then even when you and I prayed separately, when it was just you and I, we took authority over the spirit of fear.
Yes, we did.
So. And we declared that every bloodline and generational curse associated with the fear, the spirit of fear in our lives was going to be broken off of us and off of our children. So everybody on this line, your children, your grandchildren, and their children, the spirit of fear has no authority to operate in their life. And what you receive today, you got to continue to stand on the word of God. You got to continue to cover your family with the word of God. You got to speak to your children. You got to take and use the authority in the spirit realm. They may not live with you. They may not even like you. They may not be talking to you. But let me tell you something. As sure as the Lord is alive, as sure as they removed the stone and Lazarus came forth, hallelujah, somebody got to step out of your mourning clothes, because every dead situation in your life, God is about to bring it alive. He is about to send the former and the latter rain. But you got to speak forth the word of God and use the authority that you have over the lives of your children. Don't go by what it looks like. The spirit of fear is broken. Spirit of restoration and victory is in the house. And I praise God because we came together and was not selfish and touched and agreed with our sister. Now her daughter is able to step into new life and new beginnings. That's enough to give God praise right there. Do you see the results of this fast, this time of fasting and prayer?
Jesus.
We give God the glory. It's all about him. It's not about us. When we submit to his authority, when we submit to the biblical authority of his word, my God, he can do great exploits. He can perform signs and wonders and miracles. God is not a man that he should lie. He said, I have given you power and authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. What are you going to do with that power? Stop being quiet when God told you to speak. Stop rolling over and acting like you did and rise up. Not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. My God, do we have another caller? Because we're going to have to end this call soon. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We praise you. Hallelujah. Oh, shandarabashata. Glory to your name. Oh, siriritanda. Rakashata. Hallelujah, God. Woo, we praise you. Hallelujah. Okay, if there's no more. Rose, I know you're there on the line, and I know you can't talk because you're at work, but I just continue to rejoice and celebrate God for you in this great, great breakthrough that you're about to experience. Victory is yours. Your son is walking in the power and authority that God has given to him.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what he looks like. It doesn't matter what he's doing. You continue speaking God's word over his life because God has already answered your prayers. So just continue to tell God thank you. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we lift Walter up to you. We lift up all of the truck drivers. We thank you for blessing those that are on the highways and the byways. We cover them with the precious blood of your son, Jesus Christ. Father, we even lift up to the truck driver that we was praying for from last week where the truck suicide took place, where this young man jumped in front of the truck. Father, we pray that as we're praying, we're doing this fast for emotions and crippling fears. We bind the spirit of fear off of his life, and we loose the spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind, and we decree that he will not be tormented or harassed by the flashbacks of what he witnessed with his own eyes. Father, we thank you for healing him, delivering him, and setting him free. And we even bind the spirit of fear that may make him not want to drive again. May not, you know, will he get back in the truck? Will he ever drive a car again? Father, you are in control of that whole situation, and we commit him into your hands. We thank you for blessing truck drivers today. We cover them with the precious blood of your son, Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for keeping your hand upon my cousin, Walt Lunsford, so that he will know no harm, God. We thank you for the word that you have placed in his belly. And I thank you, Father God, for divinely positioning him where you will have him to do and say what you will have him to say. Him to say it. Those. I thank you for favor and preferential treatment. I cover him with the blood of Jesus. I use the power and authority that you have given to me as I speak to the enemy, and I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I command you to get behind him. The blood of Jesus is against you, Satan, and I dismantle all demonic and satanic activities against you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank you all for joining us for this noonday prayer, and I love you. We will be meeting again Thursday night at 9 p.m. Evangelist Viola Gant is bringing forth the word, and her topic is Ties That Bind. Please continue to pray for her and her husband in their ministry, but thank God for a mighty move of God, because we're going to witness many miracles, healing, and deliverance tomorrow. So God bless you and have a wonderful day.
You too, Papa.
Bye-bye. God bless you. Love you all.
Yeah.